Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is the 19th Sunday after Trinity Sunday. And because of differing patterns of counting the Sundays after Trinity as we approach the end of the church year, it just so happens that the last time we celebrated the 19th Sunday after Trinity together here at Emmanuel was on an October Sunday in 2012, 5 years ago. And just 3 days before the congregation took a vote that has had lasting effects on our congregation. I looked back at the sermon I preached on this text on Matthew chapter 9 on that day, and I give thanks to God that His Word did its work. It convinced some of the truth while convicting others. And I continually thank God for His faithfulness, for His truth, for the clarity of His gospel, and for the simplicity of His gospel. And that's really what it all came down to, the simple gospel, that all men are sinners and are justified solely by faith in Christ Jesus, who loved us and gave Himself for us, a ransom for all. Today's gospel from Matthew chapter 9 is yet another clear example of that scriptural teaching of God in the person of Jesus forgiving sins and proving that He has the right and the authority to do it. When we add the story from St. Mark's Gospel and from St. Luke's Gospel to Matthew's Gospel of this same account, all three Gospels giving us this account, we get the full picture of what happened that day when Jesus came to a home in Capernaum. He was staying in the home, and the city heard that He had come, and so the people flocked to the house where He was and filled the house to hear Him preach, to the extent that the crowds were so thick that they were crowding around the door of the house so that not another person could make it inside. Four men came, carrying a fifth man on a stretcher, a paralytic, a paralyzed man who couldn't move. And when they found that the house was so full that they couldn't get through the door even to get inside, much less get near to where Jesus was in the house, those four men climbed up on top of the roof of that house, hauled their paralyzed friend up on the stretcher, made an opening in the roof above where Jesus was, and then lowered their paralyzed friend down through the roof with some form of ropes. What a scene it must have been for everyone to witness this. Well, that took faith on the part of those five men. You don't go through all that trouble to get close to a Jesus that you don't know, or to get close to a Jesus that you think is unmerciful or unkind or unable to help. In all three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the writers are careful to note that Jesus saw their faith. He saw it because, as the Son of God, He could look into their hearts and see that they trusted in Him there. But He also knew it because He could see the evidence of their faith, that they went through all this work to get close to Him. He saw that they trusted in Him to be a merciful and kind Savior. Where had such faith come from? As always, it came from the good report that they had heard about this Jesus, and surely also from hearing Him preach that day to the extent they were able to hear from a distance. That's all it takes to create saving, justifying faith in Jesus, to hear that He is the good and merciful Savior sent from God to deliver poor sinners from sin, death, and the devil. Seeing their faith, it says, not seeing their good works, not seeing their good character, but seeing their faith. The paralytic is the perfect symbol of the inability of sinners to help themselves, to even move a muscle to help themselves. They can't. They can't do anything. Even faith is a gift worked by God's Holy Spirit through the gospel of Jesus as the kind and merciful Savior who gives the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation to all who look to Him for help. Seeing their faith, Jesus spoke to the man and said, "Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you." Someone actually made the argument to me very recently in the last few weeks that this paralytic didn't have faith in Jesus when he was lowered down through the roof to where Jesus was, that the paralytic was an unbeliever and only became a believer in Jesus after Jesus said to him, "Son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you." That when it says that Jesus saw their faith, it was only the faith of the other four men that Jesus saw, not this one, not the paralytic's faith, even though that's nowhere to be found in the text. On the contrary, when it says that he saw their faith, it clearly includes the paralytic, or else the paralytic wouldn't have allowed these men to drag him up the roof and then lower him down through a hole in it to be healed by a man in whom he didn't believe. Nor would Jesus have called him son if he were still an unbeliever, because as it says in John chapter 1, "As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." Nor would Jesus have pronounced forgiveness upon an unbeliever. It was the same Jesus who said, "For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." And that's what the forgiveness of sins is. The declaration by God that you shall not come into judgment, that you have passed from death into life, that you are not going to hell. You shall not be condemned for your sins. I release you from your sins. I absolve you from them. You are not an enemy of God, but a child of God. I declare you to be righteous in God's sight. You are justified. Well, how can Jesus do that? As the naysayers, the scribes and Pharisees who were there, were grumbling within themselves after Jesus pronounced that man forgiven, how dare a man forgive sins? Only God can forgive sins. Well, that's true. So understand the import of this statement. Jesus is claiming to be God. He is claiming to be the one to whom all flesh must give an account before the judgment, the one before whom every knee will bow. He is claiming to be the one who can open the doors of heaven and also the one who can sentence sinners to hell. He is claiming to be the one who determines the fate of every human being. So listen to him. On what basis does God forgive sins? Well, he hasn't kept that a secret from us. He's revealed it in His Word. God forgives sinners from this solid basis, that God has, by grace, transferred the punishment for sinners' sins onto another, onto a divine human substitute of the Father's own choosing, His Son, Christ Jesus. The Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all, as Isaiah wrote, and as St. John the Baptist proclaimed, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Well, to whom does God forgive sins? He hasn't kept that a secret from us either. He's also revealed that clearly in His Word. He forgives sins to the one who, in repentance, seeks refuge in Christ, who flees to Him in faith as the throne of grace, where God has already punished sins, where God has promised always to be merciful. Faith lays hold of Christ and receives everything that belongs to Christ. Sinners are justified and forgiven by means of faith as that which lays hold of Christ. Now, all of this was too much for the scribes and Pharisees who were there that day for the forgiving of the paralytic. They didn't believe Jesus was the Christ. They surely didn't believe He would be the sacrifice for sins. They didn't believe Jesus was authorized to speak God's word of forgiveness. So He proved it. He proved to them that He had authority on earth to forgive sins by doing another thing that only God can do. He spoke health into a paralyzed body. He spoke it, and everyone was amazed, not only by Jesus' power over palsied limbs, but also by that which was proved by the outward healing of the man, that God had also placed His authority to forgive sins, to open heaven and to shut the gates of hell on earth in the word of Jesus. As you know, there is nowhere on earth where you can now go to find Jesus preaching in a house. No housetop that you can open up and lower someone down through it to be near to Jesus. Did the authority to forgive sins leave the earth and ascend to heaven when Jesus ascended into heaven? Well, no, the risen Lord Christ, the judge of all, left that authority behind here on earth. As you know, the familiar passage from John chapter 20, when the risen Lord Christ said to His apostles, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, to them they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, to them they are retained." Here's a little catechism explanation that was added to the small catechism that Luther originally published and is still included in many Lutheran catechisms, explaining those very words of John chapter 20. What does this mean? "I believe in what the called ministers of Christ do among us by His divine command, especially when they exclude public impenitent sinners from the Christian congregation, and when they absolve those who repent of their sins and are willing to mend their ways, that it is all as valid and certain in heaven also as if our dear Lord Christ did it Himself." Stop and think what a treasure Christ has left here on earth within His Christian church and within this ministry of the Word that was established by Christ. Called ministers preach the gospel by Christ's own command, and all who believe are forgiven. But even more personally, even more individually, called ministers baptize by Christ's command. They baptize the one who comes to them or who is brought to them in faith, and they apply the waters of forgiveness and life and salvation to that person. and called ministers hear the confession of those baptized Christians who want to hear Jesus speak forgiveness to them. And then they absolve them by Christ's command and in the stead of Christ. And called ministers administer the sacrament of the altar to baptized Christians, pronouncing forgiveness upon each one who receives the body and blood of Jesus given and shed for them on the cross. It's all just as real as it was the day the paralytic was lowered down through the roof. Heaven is opened to penitent sinners, and the gates of hell are closed shut. Has God already forgiven and justified all men? That was the question that divided this congregation 5 years ago. And the answer remains the same. No, he hasn't. But has Christ earned forgiveness and justification for all men? Does he want all men to be forgiven? And does he really offer that forgiveness here in the ministry of the Word? Absolutely. Take comfort in that truth. And let us continue to make it our church's purpose, really our life's purpose, not only to believe it, but also to confess it before the world and to proclaim it far and wide. May God both strengthen our faith and bless our confession of his gospel for the sake of Jesus. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.